Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Everybody, fellow nerds of all kinds, welcome back into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds here. I believe this is our 294th episode, perilously close to episode 300. I am your host for today, your friend, the lawyer, Dave Ungar, coming at you here on this lovely, it's like, what, the second day of summer? I think that's officially what we're at right now, and I, as you are hearing my voice, you will realize that Mr. O'Dowd, as he kind of alluded to last week, is not here. And why is he not here, Tony?
What? Oh, hi, Dave. Sorry, a little cough. This is my throat there. It's summer. Yeah, it's hot. Patrick O'Dowd, great guy.
Something about Roman Reigns was slipped in there somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
It's summer vacation for a couple guys on the bandwagon today. No big deal. We got it covered. And we also have a special guest too, Dave.
We do. And we are all, of course, wishing Patrick the best of luck in his endeavors today. And if it goes,
is he bowling?
He's bowling.
Is he bowling for dollars today?
Bowling for dollars.
Good luck today, Pat. Yeah. Good luck. But when you listen to this, please text me and let me know how you did bowling.
Yeah. Let us know if you're going to become a full-time part-timer as something.
It wasn't going there.
But as Tony alluded, we do have a very special guest on this episode today. He is a card-holding member of the Bandwagon Nerds chat, and we don't just hand that out to anybody unless they pay us. And he's here with us today once again, our good friend. This is like a reunion of the Big Five Project Unidentified History Game Gone Wrong. This is the triumvirate of terror for the Chair Shot Radio Network, because the one and only, the man with the award-winning best beard in all of podcasting, rib smoking and everything, the one and only DJ is here today. DJ, welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds. It's been a spell.
It has. It's been a little while since I've been on here with you guys, and I feel like the three of us are now pulling quadruple duty. Covering the show here, I could never, ever, ever replace Patrick O'Dowd or the legend that is Mr. Ray Cash, but I hope those guys are enjoying their time off. They will be greatly missed, I can guarantee you, by the time I'm done working today.
The legend that is Ray Cash. Tony was barely able to keep a straight face for that one.
Well, Dave, don't do that to me. You're an ass. I'm just drinking my beer. You're so full of shit. You know how much I work with Ray? Shut up.
I know. We all work with Ray.
Actually, you know what? Ray doesn't listen to the show, so that's right. Fine.
Fuck him. He's not here.
Jesus Christ.
No, Ray and I were just...
That's all them. Yeah.
Ray and I were just debating the current top eight quarterbacks heading into next NFL season. So next time there's a Pot is War, I'm sure you'll hear that.
Yeah, if Jaden Daniels isn't in that list, then there's something wrong.
He was in both top eight. He was in both of our top eights.
Ah, see, I love you. You guys are good people. Good people. But we're not here to talk about sports. We're here to talk about good old fashioned nerdy stuff. And we are still a few days away from Ironheart dropping. We are going to talk a little Ironheart later on the episode. We are a few days away from that episode dropping, or the first batch of episodes dropping. But we do have quite a few trailers to cover, including one shared by our very special guest here today. And that is a very fun one, as we will be talking about that as we go along. But you know what, Tony, why don't you, you know, before we get to the trailer park, we got to play some banjos. And I think our extra special guest should be the one to decide what door number you're going to play.
One through six. One through six, DJ.
Pick a number, Deej.
You can't. We do have a seventh banjo, but it is a holiday jingle banjos, which is only available in December. So you get to pick through one through six.
I just want to pretend it's this.
He wants five.
Let's go with five.
Here we go, Dave. Banjos, five. That's a little death grass for you, DJ.
Sound like a bit of Dropkick Murphys going on there.
Yeah, that's what I always say too, man. It's got, there's some of that going on for sure. All right, let's get into the trailer park, though. We got like, what, five of them to talk about with a little like news story attached to one of them. And DJ, as Tony knows, Ray knows, I tend to do these trailers kind of like in chronological order of when they're coming out. It just seems to organize it better. Keeps things more topical. So I want to start off talking about, we got the official trailer for Sandman season 2, which is coming out shockingly quick. We were looking at volume 1 coming out on July 3rd on Netflix, volume 2 coming out on July 24th. This will be the end of the line for the Sandman, because its main creator, Neil Gaiman, is a piece of shit. And unfortunately, that is the situation that we live in. And here we are. But DJ, I know you, I think you are a fan of the show, as Patrick.
Absolutely.
Patrick and I are. I don't think Tony has watched The Sandman. He's thrown up the big X, so he's either injured or confirming that he has not seen The Sandman. But DJ, you and I have seen this thing. I thought the first season was tremendous. I'm glad that we're going to get some sort of conclusion around this. I know you're like me thinking, you know, but for somebody being a fucking scumbag, we could have gotten more out of the Sandman. But that did not happen. So what,
Dave,
are your thoughts?
Yeah, you can't do that. I have to do this. What's a but for?
No,
it's for pooping silly. All right. Continue.
Lawyers like to use the word but for every once in a while, but for different reasons. Ah, see what I did there. DJ, let's get back to it. What do you think of the trailer and your thoughts on season 2?
Excellent. Has me excited to watch this. Also has me depressed that this is all we're going to get. My girlfriend and I really, really enjoyed season 1. We were waiting for season 2. And as much as I get it, they need to separate themselves from Neil Gaiman. I wish there was a way that we could separate the whole show from him and keep it going. Not only for my own amusement, but for the cast and crew, which has just put an incredible work into this thing. It's a shame for them, and it's a shame for us as fans.
Yeah, and we get, I know how fond you are from Game Gone Wrong of Brienne of Tarth, and we have the big woman here in the Sandman series.
She's incredible.
She's Satan, isn't she? She's like the ruler.
Yes.
Of hell. Yeah.
Yes.
She's awesome. I wish we could get Tormund. And the guy played Tormund. He's too busy selling fucking lawn care products and shit. But yeah, the first season was so good. And, you know, it had so many different things going on and so many different elements of the story. I mean, because a lot of people have only read like book 1, Preludes and Nocturnes, which is, you know, the most recognized of all the Sandman series. But yeah, the first season was so good and just had just unique concepts and aspects of things that they were trying to do with it. all wrapped around these tremendous performances and all these, you know, all these different story arcs that were all kind of merging all at once. And just the idea of these things, you know, dream, death, being actual, like, you know, what they call them, the Fallen is what they're calling in this show,
yes.
I believe. So I'm very excited about season two and what it's going to bring. Tony, anything about this trailer piques your interest and makes you think, you know, maybe I should go and watch this?
The first thing I thought of when I seen this on there, I was like, well, it is kind of apropos that DJ is on, because he is one of the biggest champions, I think, along with Patrick, for this series. You guys really enjoyed it. It looks cool. I'm sure if I watched it, I'd enjoy it, but I just only have so much time. I didn't watch the first season, so I'm likely not going to jump on. For you guys, though, I'm hoping that the second season is so well received that they find a way to keep the story going, because it sounds like it's really well done. And in a world where we get so much crap, especially in this genre, why not keep something going where the fans love it? It's not you guys' job to go out and support it overwhelmingly.
I like where you're going with this, but this is Netflix, and they are notorious for just canceling shit that is seemingly popular, stuff that it looks like people are watching. I look at Jupiter's Legacy. It wasn't great. A lot of people probably had issues with certain aspects of it. I loved it, and we got one season, and they pulled the plug on it. And they've done that with so many series that are supposedly fan favorites. So I'm not overly optimistic that, you know, there's going to be some movement to save this one, unfortunately.
They certainly have the source material to keep it going. That much is true. I don't know how many episodes we're getting for this season. I'd have to look that up to see what's in volume one versus volume two. I'm guessing maybe six, eight at the best. But yeah, like DJ says, there's a lot of shows that we think aren't picked up by, you know, their original network that they're on. And we want to see them get continued and go on for a while. And it just doesn't happen. Halo is an example. More recently, The Wheel of Time, you know, somebody should really pick that one. You talk about source material. They've got a lot more story to tell. Probably no one's going to do it, though.
So here's some knowledge for you guys. Season two. Yeah, the first six episodes dropped July 3rd. Episode 7, the 24th, with episode 8, 9, and 10. Yeah, so 10 episodes. So the first six episodes, and then the last four, 3 weeks later.
That's a good run.
That is a good run.
10 episodes, second and final season. I mean, yeah, I will be as fascinated as anybody to see how this all turns out, you know, how the episodes turn out, the content, where they start, where they end up, and how this all plays out in the end. Because as Dream says near the end of the trailer, the dreaming will survive even if I don't. So there you go. Sandman season two coming remarkably quick. It's like, wow, here's a trailer and here you go, which is kind of nice.
Do you think characters or elements could easily carry forward in other parts of?
Here's the thing is Sandman is, Deej, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. It's a Vertigo property. It's one of the.
Correct.
It's under the DC umbrella. So
it's DC adjacent.
It is DC adjacent. So, and we're going to talk quite a bit of DC a little bit later on. We'll see if anything in here gets James. I mean, James Gunn is known for some weird shit. So yeah, maybe there's something to be said there, but it's probably a long shot at this point.
Yeah. The waste paper basket over there. That was a long shot. Shout out, ladies, man. Sorry.
No, you go, buddy. You go. It's right there with Rusty Dad Assington, you know, so there you go. DJ.
Shout out to DJ. Yeah, that's a.
That sounds like an episode title, but it probably won't be, but it should be. But we got Attitude of Aggression coming up, so you never know when Rusty Dad Assington will it's like
make an appearance.
It's like lead tasso, right?
I feel like it's a character we all can go into is Rusty Dad Assington. By the way, did you see the thing I shared of Jason Sudeikis showing how he used Jim Harbaugh to create Ted Lasso?
No. Oh, I saw you posted something about that. I didn't get a chance to check it out, but
he shared like a text message thing he had back and forth, and it's a lot. He used a lot of what Harbaugh does to Ted Lasso. Anyway, let's keep going. I'll lose it today.
As mentioned earlier, this is the one trailer that has a little bit of something extra attached to it, because it's not a trailer, so to speak, but it is like I don't know if it was a TV spot or just a little something extra, but we got the Herbie trailer for Fantastic Four, which is, of course, as we know, coming up very soon as well, July 25th. Herbie looks like a very functional sort of robotic helper that Reed Richards and Sue Storm have had hanging out at the house, helping them with, there is a baby in there. I'm presuming this is Franklin Richards. Could be female, so might not be, but I'm thinking it's Franklin. But Herbie's out there helping around the house. He's cooking meals. He's making sauce. He's doing all sorts of things. It's just going to create more anticipation for this Fantastic Four movie. Before I turn it over to you guys to talk about the trailer, I did want to touch bases on the story that came out this week that indicates that they are already working on a Fantastic Four sequel. And, you know, I read that and I'm like, well, they must really feel positive about what they're getting from this movie so far. We know that these guys are going to be in Doomsday. We've seen the end of Thunderbolts, where, you know, the Fantastic Four ship is coming into Earth's atmosphere. DJ, I hope you've seen Thunderbolts. If not, sorry, I just spoiled it for you.
You did. It's not on streaming yet. I haven't seen it.
All right.
Really good. It's really, it doesn't ruin the movie, DJ. It's fucking great.
That's what everybody that's seen it. It's a shame it really didn't do well in the theater. I'm partially contributed to it not doing well in the theater, but it's all my fault. I'm 100% the failure of that movie is on my shoulders. Yes.
It's like, honestly, it's probably the first Marvel, not saying that some of the longer ones weren't really good, like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. I'm not going to classify it like I'm going to classify this one. While that is maybe my favorite superhero movie of all time, it's very long. This was a movie that didn't even feel like the 2 hours it was. It was that good. Yeah. I don't know how you felt about that, Dave, but that's to me, I was like, oh, wow, it's over. Holy shit.
No, I thought it was it's like, I think when we talked about it, when we reviewed it, that Thunderbolts was the best of the present phase. I mean, we are looking at it since Endgame. Where would you put it? Top five Marvel movies since Endgame.
Off the cuff, you go, is it better than Guardians 3?
No,
but I don't know what else is better than Thunderbolts besides that.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Shang-Chi was really good. I enjoyed Shang-Chi.
I'll give you Spider-Man. I won't give you Shang-Chi.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Wakanda Forever, that's the one where it's like, well, that may be a tie right there. But anyway, all that notwithstanding, now that I've spoiled the post-credit scene sort of for DJ, we do know that the Fantastic Four will be a part of Avengers Doomsday. And first, Tony, I'll go to you first to talk about the trailer. And then the question I have is this idea of already planning this sequel for what happens after Secret Wars and the next phase of whatever the MCU is going to go into after that. Is that too optimistic? Are they, you know, given the history of this franchise, which has failed twice already, is it too optimistic to say, hey, let's start putting the plans for a sequel together? I mean, I get it. Let's think positively, but, you know, shouldn't they maybe wait and see how this does first?
I think if they're not selling Herbies, here for Christmas time coming up, they're missing the ball there, because that'd be a cool little robot to have roaming around. That's what I took from the trailer. I don't think they're just planning it. I think they've had it in their minds the whole time that, I mean, just look at the cast that's attached to this movie. And I'm not just talking Pedro Pascal. I'm talking everybody else that comes with it. You know, Vanessa Kirby, who's playing? Ralph Innisbrook's playing Galactus, right? John Malkovich is attached to some character here. Not to mention everybody else that's in there that I'm not mentioning. They're just a really good cast. So I think that you can easily keep this a very important part of the story, considering the big bad you have involved as well. They're like, I don't see like them getting rid of Galactus in an hour and a half, because this movie's only an hour and a half to go back to the other thing. Like there's probably going to be three of these things. Like if you're going to do it an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes at a time, instead of having 1 3-hour movie, sign me up. I am tired of movies that are more than 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm done with them. 2.5, fine. But there's a couple movies in the past 2 years I haven't gone and seen because they're like 3 hours long. I'm talking about you, Oppenheimer, and I'm talking about you, Wicked. I'm not. I haven't even watched them on streaming. I'm like, I'm not gonna. I really want to watch them.
It's funny you mentioned all the time. I don't know, man. The internet's saying it's got a 2-hour and 10-minute runtime. I know they were.
Oh, is it that long? I thought it was shorter. My bad. Must have been a different movie.
That was a rumor early on in the development cycle that it was going to be a really short runtime, but it looks like...
Oh, it is 210 now? Okay.
That's what it's saying.
It's also 35 minutes of production credits, though. So
Stop it, DJ. Hey. You stop it right now.
Listen, if it's 210, that's perfectly fine with
that's
me.
Not that's the, no, it's 2 hours is the sweet spot.
Yeah, it, that 245, 3 hour shit they started making us do for like 2-3 years in a row. All right.
You can thank James Cameron for that shit.
Deej, your thoughts on the Herbie trailer and then the sequel to Fantastic Four already in the production, despite the somewhat checkered history of this franchise?
I agree with Tony. I think they need to get Herbie toys in production yesterday. It's very obvious that Herbie is meant to keep this grounded and remind us who these movies are actually for. Like, yeah, they're for us nerds and those of us who have been reading the comics since we were little kids, but it's also for little kids. And you want to bring the little kids in, and something like a Herbie is going to do that. I think they have not shown us... I think there's a lot of secrets being hidden from view right now that's going to show up in this movie, and I think they're already banking on everybody looking at that going, oh, wow, I got to know what happens next. And I think Feige knows his audience. I think, you know, yeah, we had some missteps. We had Thor, Love and Thunder, and we had the Eternals, and we had the second Marvel's movie. And while I'll defend them to a line, I understand why people didn't like them. I think he's got a sense of what his audience is going to pop for. And we saw that with Deadpool and Wolverine. So I think I'm not saying it's going to be gratuitously cameoed out like that one was, but I think there are things that are going to be in this movie that we have yet seen. They're going to draw people back for more. And I think that's why they're already planning a sequel.
Shout out to our buddy on X, our pal Jay at Ham in a Cart. It's for the kids and the nanas, right, DJ?
For the kids and nanas, as we say on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, I will say, I think that, and I've said it for a long time, I have a lot of faith in Marvel to get this right, to get the whole idea of this franchise, to finally give it the kind of story that it needs to have and to tell the story that, you know, needs to be told about Fantastic Four to make that a success. They've got all the elements in place. They've got all the players in place. I don't want anybody to think that I'm pessimistic about this, because I'm not, because everything I've seen so far looks phenomenal. There's so many things they can do with that franchise. You know, we've got the female Silver Surfer coming in. That lends itself to the theory that Norrin Radd could come in at some point in time, and we expand on that. You got Galactus, like you guys are saying. I don't anticipate Galactus being a one-off sort of type of villain. But we'll see about that. You know, Superman's got a 2-hour, 9-minute runtime, Tony, so it's right there as well. You notice I waited till DJ went to take care of his ribs to even mention Superman. So,
listen, I'm going the 12th. I'm going in Super Screen Ultra 3D.
We looked into the early screening for Prime members, but like there's not hardly any seats left available for those, which I guess might be a good sign. You know, we're going to talk some Superman bullshit later on. DJ won't be able to avoid that one probably, but we'll talk Superman a little bit later on, because, you know, the closer we get to that, the more that news cycle is going to pick up. Let's move on to our next trailer, because this is a fun one. The Naked Gun, the reboot. Well, I say it's a reboot, but it's kind of it really feels like a sequel, because this is Frank Drebin Jr. being played by Liam Neeson. And we got our first official trailer for that. This one's hitting theaters on August 1st, 2025. So lots of big movies coming out this summer. Tony, what'd you think of this trailer?
It's interesting. I'm not a huge fan of the Naked Gun movies. I've seen the first one, and the first one is funny. It is what it is. It's very nostalgic. I think it's really cool, the irony of Liam Neeson being the guy to do this, considering what he's done in his past and the roles that he's had, especially as, like, you know, someone who is, I wouldn't necessarily say law enforcement, but like Secret Service trained strategic guy, you know, with all the certain set of skills, right? Now to be what, Frank Drebin? What is that? Is that his name?
Drebin Jr.
Yeah, to be his son. And one of the funniest parts of us is all the kids then looking at their dad's thing, and then they saw OJ from the first one, and the black cop's like, nah, bro, no. No. But there are so many funny things in here. I just think that dichotomy that I think he really enjoys doing this because it's a chance to do something that he really hasn't gotten to do that he probably has been dying to do. You know, the silly farting and arm pulling off, blood spraying around kind of bullshit and, you know, these different funny jokes. But I'm happy for him. I'll probably watch it on streaming eventually, but I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, I'm so glad. I can't wait. I'm glad they redid it. I'm a kind of a middle of the road kind of appreciator of this, but it looks good. I'm happy for Liam Neeson. I think with the dichotomy that he brings, considering his past, I think they picked the right guy to do another one.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think I do like Liam Neeson in this role because he's kind of become a meme to himself, you know, with the whole Taken thing. And you see so
exactly.
much, you see so much of that in here, and that character still comes through. But then they add this slapstick element that is, you know, synonymous with the Naked Gun, with like the airplane type thing, that sort of thing. And so it comes across like, you know, you stand there and look at this from like arm's length and you're like, I wonder if they could really pull this thing off as well as they're going to try, whether you've got just this ultra serious sort of character, but he's juxtaposed against the ridiculous nature of just the Naked Gun franchise. So I'm looking forward to it. Deej, you didn't miss a whole lot other than us telling you that Superman's runtime is 2 hours and 9 minutes, so similar runtimes for the movies. But we were just talking about the Naked Gun trailer and Liam Neeson coming into this kind of still carrying that Taken sort of character and attitude, but translating it into this sort of slapstickish kind of thing.
This is the one trailer I haven't had a chance to look at. I caught like bits and pieces of it on the X app when it dropped. I don't know, man. This is definitely going to be a streamer for me. It's not that I'm going to go see in the theater. What I saw of it looks fun, but I can't really give you too much more than that. I love Liam Neeson, so I'll definitely watch it because it's him. And, you know, if it pays homage to the original Naked Gun movies, even better. But I always approach these with a bit of skepticism. And I'm not one of those, you know, stop ruining my childhood type of guys. But there are certain movies that were just so well done. When you go back and try to revisit that, I'm a little skeptical.
Well, there's good reason to be. I mean, and I think, you know, anytime you're kind of straddling this line,
go ahead, Tony. They're not really remaking it, though, right? I'm sorry, Dave. They're not really remaking it. It's just carrying it on because, they already had 2.5 and 3 1/3, right?
That's what I was going to say. If it was a full on reboot, then you know, then you have to be concerned, but. This is one of those ones that's kind of like a hybrid reboot sequel sort of thing. So they're kind of rebooting it, but they're telling a continuation as well. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. But I do like seeing Liam Neeson in this kind of kind of different role, like still carrying all the traits from all of his typical stereotypical characters, but now adding in this ridiculosity to the whole thing, you know. And I hear Rusty Dad Assington makes an appearance in this one, too. So
excellent.
Right next to Cristobal. Cristobal's there too, Tony. Don't worry. Exactly. Let's move to the next trailer because this is the one that our friend, the one and only DJ, shared with us. Speaking of reboots, remakes, all of the above, here we go. We got the first Red Band trailer to the remake of The Toxic Avenger coming to theaters August 29th, 2025. You know, DJ, before I turn it over to you, all I will say is cast-wise, this movie checks all the boxes. You got Peter Dinklage, you got Elijah Wood, you've got the legendary one himself, the legendary Kevin Bacon. Looks like he's the big bad. I think there's a cameo from Adam Sandler that I saw in there. It is beyond over the top, and that is the only way you can describe it. I'm going to let you do it justice, DJ, if you can. This was such a, you had asked in the chat, has anybody, you know, posted this trailer yet? Patrick's like, post it. I'm so glad you did because this,
you know why he did, you know why he asked, right? Cause he didn't want to dig through the last fucking 3 days, probably since it'd been posted to see if anybody posted it. And Patrick
Ray would just post it.
But no, Tony's right. That's exactly why, man. I don't want to wear the cone of shame from Patrick O'Dowd because
Yeah. And I'm not like I'm glad they do that because I think it's fun. I think it's something
hilarious.
Of this chat that we all enjoy. I think it's a fun thing.
It very much is. I'm not downing it at all. I think it's absolutely hilarious to wear the cone of shame.
It does require a level of due diligence on the part of any
there
of
are
us
rules.
There. There are rules.
There are rules. It's the only chat that are rules.
Am I the only one here who gives a shit about the rules? Go ahead.
Damn it, Donnie.
And here's the thing with the bandwagon nerds chat, kind of peeling it back a little bit here. We'll go days and there'll be like two or three things. And then one day, either Patrick or Tunney will just click bomb the fucking chat. And you got to scroll back. Like it's like turning the wheel of time here to try and find if somebody
try putting the rundown together, DJ, and try, what the hell have we talked about this week? Oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I posted the trailer. And so Patrick called me out. He's like, you got to post the trailer, pal. That's what we do here. I'm like, okay. So I post the trailer. It just looks like fun, man. Like ridiculous, gratuitously violent fun. Kevin Bacon seems to be at his hammy best, just chewing up scenery everywhere. This is going to be a lot of fun, man. You can't go wrong with Peter Dinklage. I'm glad to see him getting, you know, an opportunity at something that could end up being a surprise sleeper hit.
You know,
Kevin Bakey Bacon chewing up scenery. I don't, that's beautiful. That
brother,
beautiful.
I'm a walking soundbite, even if I don't intend to be.
You Jameis Winston, son of a bitch.
I'm so smart. I don't even know it.
Honey, what do you think of this trailer, man?
I seen the interaction and then he posted it and I'm like, okay, I'll wait. I'm like, I know it's going to make the trailer park. It's a movie. I didn't realize. I thought it was going to be a series. I was like, okay. I had no idea who was in it. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, damn, I got to see this. I'm probably not going to go to the movie theater, but when it comes out on streaming or wherever, I'm going to have to watch this. And honestly, I don't know that you could, maybe Dinklage and maybe Elijah Wood, but probably not Bakey Bacon chewing up the scenery for a series after this. But what about a post series? Or maybe this is like two or three movies, but I think Peter Dinklage is really going to, I think people are gonna be really impressed with him in this. This looks fun. This looks really cool. This is something different than everything else that's out there right now.
It's outside the box. It really is.
It really,
and I enjoy that.
And I think that the blood and gore shit that I don't necessarily like, it's so ridiculous and over the top that
okay.
You could probably, like it's kind of like Naked Gun where they rip the guy's arm off, you know, like, oh my God, really? No, that, you know, that's not the kind of shit that bothers me. It's almost so predictable too, but correctly predictable that you can just close your eyes and look away for a second if you really don't like it. But
yeah,
believe
it's
it or
from
not
the same studio that did Terrifier, so the blood and guts is gonna be,
you
there.
Know it's gonna be over the top. But I mean,
when
like,
that flashed, yeah,
like when Tutty said is here, it makes all the sense in the world to just be as gory and ridiculous and over the top, as splatterpunk as you want to be, because that's kind of what Toxic Avenger is supposed to be. But yeah, you know, you got Bakey Bacon. That's an episode title there if I ever heard one.
So, you got to add chewing up scenery. Kevin Bakey Bacon chewing up scenery.
Too long.
Oh, that's all right. Who cares?
WordPress,
it's so good.
Gets pissed
it's off. Like a Fallout Boy song title. It's okay.
Fallout Boy song title.
Oh, that's another song. That's another show title.
I know what your songs did in the dark. And it chewed up a lot of scenery, baby. Chewed up a lot of scenery.
That
Patrick's laughing. I hope he didn't throw his phone.
No.
Oh, no, he's enjoying this.
But yeah, for more shenanigans like this, tune into anything coming out on the Attitude of Aggression nowadays, and you'll hear more shit like this.
You never know where we're going with the discussion.
You really don't. Anyway, let's go to the last trailer. This one a little bit more serious. Bruce Springsteen, kind of a biopic. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, coming to theaters October 24th, 2025. I think one of the things that's cool about this trailer is that there's nothing about this that says origin story. There's nothing in here that says this is about Bruce Springsteen's origin. He's already a well-established star, and something's happening involving the making of, you know, this particular, the music that's in here that he wanted to talk about, that he wanted to sing about, the message he wanted to get to the masses. This is Jared Allen White, right? He's playing Bruce Springsteen in this, right, Tony? Is that who we got? And yeah, I mean, I I enjoy these sort of, you know, the movies about, you know, the musicians and the stars, and we've seen it done. You know, we kind of Bohemian Rhapsody got the ball rolling, and then you've had stuff about Bob Dylan. You've had stuff about Bob Marley. You know, you've had stuff about Elton John. We've seen all this stuff, Elvis in the last year. And this is the next one in there. Tony, I'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on this Bruce Springsteen movie? Are you a Springsteen fan? Are you going to go check this out, or what are you thinking about it?
Springsteen for me is kind of like Coldplay and Dave Matthews Band. And there's a few other artists where there's a couple songs I like, but for the most part, while I recognize you're unbelievably talented and amazing and have tons of fans and are unbelievably successful and deserve to have a biopic and are one of the greatest American musicians ever, it's music is a very selected taste for everyone. And their music just doesn't hit home with me as a lot of other bands and artists do. So that being said, this more got me going on the lines of how trendy is it to play a superstar musician in a biopic, right? Who's from Robot Man did Freddie Mercury. I can't think of his name right now.
Rami Malek.
Yeah. Did Freddie Mercury. Oh, Timothée Chalamet just did Bob Dylan. Jeremy Allen White is doing Bruce Springsteen. All stories we need. And then think about the actual documentaries that we've been getting lately about music, right? Like Led Zeppelin, and there's a bunch on the Beatles and a whole other bands and all this stuff coming out. So
DJ, you've been watching the Zeppelin one.
I finished it the other night. It was fucking incredible.
Go ahead. I that's about all I got right there. It looks great. I'm sure if you're a Springsteen fan or whatever, or Jeremy Allen White fan, you'll be watching it. I don't know. This one's for me.
Yeah, I would say this one's probably not for me either, but not because I'm not a fan of Springsteen. I'm just not a huge fan of biopics like that. Like, I've never seen Walk the Line. I haven't seen Rocket Man. I haven't seen the one about Freddie Mercury. Like, they're just not high on my... Which is odd because I love documentaries. Like, I was just talking about the Led Zeppelin documentary, Becoming Led Zeppelin. I think things like that are really, really good. Because there's so much embellished and, you know, more storytelling than actual truth going on in these biopics. I think for the performances, it's probably worth watching them. But for any historical accuracy, it's just a part of my brain that tunes those types of things out. And I'm sure it's going to be incredible. It just, for different reasons, it ain't for me.
So you're saying nonfiction, you're more documentarian than biopic.
Correct.
I'm kind of the same way.
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's obviously integral, you know, it's inextricably intertwined with how you perceive music. You know, music is so subjective, like Tony says. So there are certain things that are going to resonate with you larger and more impactfully than others. Like, you know, the movie The Doors. That resonated hugely with me because The Doors are one of my favorite bands, and Jim Morrison is just this iconic enigma of a person. You know, I'm a big Springsteen, you know, I'm a Springsteen fan. I'm a Bob Dylan fan. Do I enjoy them as much as Queen? No, which is probably why Bohemian Rhapsody hit bigger with me than any of these other ones. Historical liberties that they took with that movie notwithstanding. And even Patrick, Queen is Patrick's favorite band. He will tell you to also that Bohemian Rhapsody took some very significant historical liberties with the telling of that. But it's all right, you know, that sort of thing. But you can't take away anything from the actors portraying these guys, you know, Rami Malek's, the Chalamet's, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's going to be a good movie. It looks like, you know, as far as a biopic goes, that, okay, this is going to be the next one. I'm waiting for Tony, you got your microphone down. I know you wanted to add something.
No, go. I'll wait.
I'm just kind of throwing it out there for you guys. Whether you like biopics or not, you know, who should have one done next? I mean, I've got an idea as to who I think would make a fascinating story.
Prince.
That's what I was thinking, Prince.
Madonna.
Yeah. Oh, God. People are so over Madonna. The problem is
but her story, Prince, I think, is...
Sure. Yeah, but I think, like, you talk about... throw in the fact that if you did a Madonna one right now, nobody would go watch it because are so down on Madonna right now. But like Prince, we lost him too early. You know, all the drama, everything else. That's a great call.
Jimmy. Hendrix.
Yeah. Jimmy would be good. I mean, the point I was going to add before was it's almost become a rite of passage into another echelon of acting to knock out of the park a performance being playing a historic musician, right? Like it made moved Rami Malek to another level. Timothy Chalamet during the release of this movie and his interactions with Adam Sandler became Timothy Chalamet, and everybody loves Chalamet now, and he's even bigger, you know. And I think Jeremy Allen White, as good as he's been with this The Bear and what was he on Cinemax with God damn it, The Family from Detroit. You watched it.
Ah, shit. I'm drawing a blank.
I'll think of it. It's really pissing me off, too.
That's a great series. Screaming at his phone right now.
Anyway.
Now he's throwing his phone at the wall.
It's a rite of passage, you know, for these actors to be moving forward.
Yeah, we'll hear about it tomorrow. But that's good stuff all the way around, guys. But that, my friends, takes us through the trailer park.
Shameless hussy.
That's what we are. But like I said, that is going to take us up to our first commercial break here on Bandwagon Nerds. Tony, why don't you let people know where they can get all that good, sweet chair shot merch, including those articles of clothing that feel good on your nipplets.
Ooh, nipplets. Oh, well, for your nipplets, all your nipplet needs, head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great designs, including you can get yourself a Mindless Wrestling Podcast t-shirt right there, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Let me tell you, it doesn't have to be a t-shirt. It can be long sleeve. It can be a tank top. It can be a hoodie, but get it in soft style. That's where your nipplets will thank you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And for a limited time, kids, not only can you get the Mindless Wrestling Podcast t-shirt, but we have developed a special soap that is mixed with DJ's bathwater and shards of his beard that we have ground up into a fine powder that, you know, forget Sydney Sweeney. You don't need her. You need some of DJ.
It's award-winning.
It is award-winning. The soap, on the other hand, maybe not.
It's the only soap on the market that leaves you feeling dirtier.
Hey, we got Bakey Bacon chewing up the scenery, and now we've got, instead of Dial, it'll just be Degile. Yeah, there you go.
We're going to have to get creative to work on that one, Dave.
Sounds French.
You're close. You're close. The actual name will be Defile.
Defile, there you go. And we'll just add like a little asterisk or some accent mark to make it sound more French. And it'll probably sell.
What, one quarter Irish sprung or something? I don't know.
Sprung. There you
we'll
go.
Call it. We'll call it. We'll call it. Defilé.
Oof. Yeah, we're gonna have to have a creative huddle over this one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Speaking of creative huddles, let's move on to news around the nerdosphere. We've got a few things to talk about that have happened to keep you nerds in the know, so to speak. This is an interesting weekend for movies because right now How to Train Your Dragon is still the king of the box office. That is probably going to change very quickly, especially once a certain movie about dinosaurs drops on July 2nd. But for now, you've got How to Train Your Dragon 28 years later has come out too. And then Pixar released Elio. And it is now tracking to be the lowest opening in Pixar history, guys. Now, that's not the end of the world because Elemental sucked ass in the movies and in the theaters and then went on to have this tremendous grassroots campaign sort of thing and was a resounding success at the end of all of it. But, you know, Deej, I'll go to you first. I mean, I know, you know, as far as like your kids are grown like mine are, so we're not going and watching all these Pixar things unless you've got grandkids. I've got step grandkids, that sort of thing. But, you know, is this a concern in any way? Do you think like these Pixar movies are coming out not doing so well at the box office, or is it all just completely irrelevant because by the time they're done with their, you know, everything going on with streaming and God knows what else, they're big time successes. So does the box office even matter for these Pixar movies anymore?
I don't think it does. Interestingly enough, this one, I didn't know nothing about it until 48 hours ago. Like that's how below the radar this thing flew. And when I heard the initial trailer, I was like, shit, this ties right into Unidentified History because it's talking about alien abductions and this Elio is trying to get abducted by aliens is basically the premise of the whole movie. I was clueless. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm like, oh, this is a Pixar thing. This one might grow legs, too. I think it's going to be like Elemental. Probably not, because I just, like I said, at least Elemental I knew about. This one, literally, I knew nothing about until it was already in the theater. So there was probably very little true marketing behind it, which tells me how they probably thought about the movie to begin with. But with the streaming, I think it'll make itself back at the streaming, on the streaming side of things.
Tony, you agree? I tend to agree with DJ on this.
I don't think it's going to be to the effect that Elemental did. And there was a couple others that did it, like, right before and right after the pandemic. I can't remember. There was one other animated
like Red,
one that I,
Red came out right
Soul or yeah. something.
Soul was the
that
other
was
one.
One that did was the other one. That was one, and I saw that one. That was really excellent. Fucking good. So I these are never under my radar because well, I'll put it to you this way. When people ask me if I watch the news, I tell them I have SportsCenter on every single day. So that ABC, you know, machine is feeding me these previews while I'm watching SportsCenter and catching up on the day's events for sports and stuff like that, or watching the NBA finals, et cetera. It looks good. Like, you know, we did this on the trailer park when the trailer first came out, right? And I think we all said, oh, what a cool thing. The kid's trying to get abducted by aliens and it'll be a cool little adventure. And then I had forgotten about it so much that when I watched the trailer back to remember what this was about, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. And now it's not getting any traction. So we'll see. I think it'll do better once it's on streaming, but it's not going to be anywhere in Elemental.
Yeah, I tend to, you know, like DJ draws the analogy to Unidentified History. And sure, I would love more people to take interest in that whole topic of conversation, but it's not going to appeal to the masses, especially to the kids and the parents of the kids as much as you know, Elemental did. So I think you'll see it rebound considerably. I agree with DJ. I think it'll rebound quite a bit. Will it reach those kind of heights? Probably not. But at the end of the day, it'll probably be another success for Pixar. But it does make you wonder, does Disney, do they start rethinking their theater strategy with these things? And it's like, do they just say, you know what, why bother? You know, we're going to make all of our money, from, you know, just kind of doing it in streaming and that sort of thing. But I don't know. But I tend to think this one will rebound a bit. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, It kind of says something about, you know, the success of How to Train Your Dragon has been a little bit more successful than maybe we thought it was going to be. And that's doing well. But yeah, at all, once this calendar flipped from June to July, forget about it. It's all over because yeah. It's blockbuster after blockbuster after fucking blockbuster. You got the three-headed monster coming. Jurassic Park Rebirth or Jurassic World Rebirth or whatever the hell it is. You got Superman, you got Fantastic Four. So
nothing else is getting watched at the theater that month.
Enjoy your time in the sun. How to Train Your Dragon 28 years later, and Elio to a lesser extent, because that's all about to dry up in a big way. So we'll see. Streaming's the way to go for all that stuff. We talked earlier about Ironheart, and we got news this week about there was an X that Marvel had put out. So Ironheart is going to release in two batches of three episodes each. So we get the first one coming this week, and I think when's the next one? Is that next week, Tony? Is that when they're doing it, or is it separated longer than that? I forget. I'll check.
Keep going. I'll check.
I got to go there now because I wanted to look at this thing. Ironheart official episode guide. So I'm looking at this thing. We've got June 24th and then July 1st. So yeah, it is 1 week later. But we got six episodes coming out. The first batch coming out Tuesday? Yeah, this Tuesday coming out. Episode titles, Take Me Home, Will the Real Natalie Please Stand Up, and We in Danger, Girl. It's nice shout out to Ghost. Then we get to the second batch, and this is the one that's got people talking. So coming out on July 1st, we've got Bad Magic, Karma's a Glitch, and The Past is the Past. And in Karma's a Glitch, and this is our Marvel Studios put this out on X, they have outlined one of the M in Karma is been outlined with a distinctly red tinged M amidst the all black text is what they're saying. And this, of course, has led to speculation. And DJ, you haven't been on Bandwagon Nerds enough to know how big of a freaking meme to itself this has been amongst us over the past, 6 years now that we've been doing this. This has, of course, led to the wild speculation that we are talking once again about everybody's favorite Marvel character to never appear in the MCU so far. Tony, who are we talking about? And it's not Roman Reigns.
It's not your Fisto. It's not your Fisto. It's not your Fisto. No, it's not even my Fisto. It's Mephisto.
It's not even Lou Fisto. It's Mephisto. Yes, the speculation running rampant again that Mephisto is coming in, and this time it's for real, kids. We know we've told you 35 times in the past that he's coming, and he never does, but this time it's for real.
Mephisto is coming. Dave said it here first.
Yes, sort of.
A braver man, Dave. Title.
If I put Mephisto in the title, Patrick will throw his phone at the wall before he
even listens. His fucking head would explode. And Ray would be coming.
Yeah. All of him and all of his variants. It'd all be linked up together. Man.
What a sea of... All right, anyway, let's keep going.
I guess there's some more credibility to this one because we know Sacha Baron Cohen is coming in. Everybody's speculating he's going to play our favorite He Who Shall Not Be Named, that sort of thing. I don't know, man. I'm like a couple years ago, Tony and I, we got so sick of Fantastic Forecasting rumors that we said, no more. We're not talking about it. Mephisto's kind of been under the same veil of scrutiny for many years now. And I think it's almost like Marvel's just dicking around with people at this point. They're like, yeah, let's just throw this out there and get everybody excited. And he may never, ever, ever show up in the MCU. He was mentioned in Agatha by name. So they kind of opened the door there. And we talked about it when it happened. That was the first time he'd been actually mentioned by name. So maybe there is a little bit more credibility to this. DJ, you're kind of the FNG here. So what do you think about Mephisto coming into the MCU? Is this where it happens, or is this just more bullshit?
I hope it's fucking Magneto, to be honest with you. But
my God, that would just melt people's brains. It's Mephisto. Magneto. All right, I'll take it. But I mean, if it was, then you would get the X-Men introduced, and everybody would lose their damn minds there too.
Oh, there you go. I don't really have an opinion on it either way. Mephisto's a character, believe it or not, for as long as I've been reading comics, that I'm not super, super familiar with. I know the name. I have a few issues that he's probably in. It's nothing that I'm excited about or disappointed in if it doesn't happen. The show looks fun. I'm a little iffy on getting... These Marvel shows have been hit or miss for me. For every one that I've liked, there's been one I didn't like. The last one I really liked was Agatha All Along, and they're not doing any more of them because it was so poorly received for whatever reason. I thought she was brilliant in it. I thought the show was clever. This looks fun, but I don't want to get too attached to something.
Tony, is your favorite red-skinned, not Washington Redskins guys, red-skinned devil from down below cutting deals with everybody? Is he showing up in Ironheart, or what's happening?
Art Monk, by the way.
One of the best ever.
I think it's interesting that we have different directors for the first three and second three episodes. Sam Bailey's doing the first three and Angela Barnes is doing the second three. They could kind of have been co-directing all along. We don't really know the whole scenario, but each episode is written by someone else as well. But I mean, obviously there's got to be cohesion because we're all under Feige's umbrella going somewhere, right? I'm looking forward to it. It looks great. This looks fun. This looks super fun. This looks like a little more pace than we've had with some of the previous things. Not that the other things needed that. That's not what they were. So I think they've done a good job with the series in fluctuating, not just giving you the same thing, right? You talk about Agatha and you talk about this. There is a vast difference between what type of series you're watching here. And I like not repeating. I like going back and forth. The variety is excellent.
I read something earlier today, and I think it was about Ironheart, and the post basically said people who were fans of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are going to be pleasantly happy with this series, which now has me curious because there were things about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that I enjoyed, you know, what I saw of it. And if they're going to incorporate the good things into that and have some cameos, yeah, let's do it. We need to tie all that together anyway, because that's kind of existed in its own bubble outside of the MCU timeline, even though it was directly connected with Agent Coulson.
Yeah, it's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had lots of good stuff. And at some point, the timeline does diverge and it's like, well, then they're just like not they were never stated to be outside of canon, but just kind of like adjacent to it, like you were indicating.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see some cool, there's some cool stuff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that'd be fun to bring in there. I would urge anybody watch. Disney put out a little, like a 2-minute sort of look at Ironheart. And that's really interesting because they explain in there that she's not trying to be or being portrayed to be a successor to Iron Man. This is something different. You know, Riri is her own person, her own entity. And in the comics, she worked with Tony to develop a lot of the tech. Here, obviously, that's not the case. But I have a feeling she's going to play a major role in Doomsday and taking down Dr. Doom because of her intelligence levels and her understanding of certain things. So we'll see. But it's good. It looks like it should be a fun show. And I'm looking forward to it. Let's get going.
I think any intelligent, well, that's a stretch. I think most non-venomous, non-toxic, if you will, to, you know, bring that, you know, verb back, comic book fans would never lay that onus on her, like comparing it to Iron Man. It's so different. It's ridiculous. And that's just stupid.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of us that understand what we're watching know what we're getting.
Yeah. It's the suit. I mean, that's the comparison that you're going to get.
Right. And the people that don't really know are going to think it's cool and they're going to like it. And they're going to think that it is, you know, it's a suit, fine. But then if you know, you're just being an asshole if that's your take.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, assholes in nerddom? No, come on. There are none. They're all, everybody agrees.
Perfectly normal, well-adjusted people, Dave.
Everybody agrees on everything all the time out. You know, that's well-adjusted, you know, well-nourished, definitely well-nourished.
Right. But second only to wrestling fans.
yeah, exactly.
Talking to you. We're talking to you, Nick Nemeth, Matt Cardona, and Claudio Castagnoli. Yeah.
A little inside baseball there for you.
We also got some more Marvel news this week, which is kind of interesting. The Punisher, John Bernthal, is going to be in Spider-Man Brand New Day, also known as Spider-Man 4. This, I think, is great news. I mean, the Punisher is one of the was a tremendous part of the Daredevil Born Again, at least season one. We'll see what happens in season two. Bernthal has been a tremendous portrayer of the Punisher character. It's fun, though, because I think that this addition to this Spider-Man movie is going to add some, like, and I've read it in another couple places, some grittiness to Spider-Man, some of that really entrench that street level sort of aspect of things, which is what Spider-Man, it's where he excels, when it's that street level sort of thing. And we're not dealing with, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the super cosmic element of things, which you can run into with, like, with No Way Home was excellent, but, you know, you had that spell being cast and it was very much not, well, I wouldn't say not, but it was a different sort of street level sort of story. This one looks like it's going to be very street level and very gritty, and Punisher will certainly collide with Spider-Man's values, that sort of thing. Tony, I'll go to you first on this one. What are your thoughts? Punisher coming into Spider-Man brand new day, and what do you think he adds as an element to this movie?
Oh, I had jumbo shrimp and filet mignon last night, so I probably won't have it. Oh, wait. Yes, I will. I'll have it every fucking night. Okay. So why not? This guy is great at this character. I'm sure they found a storyline that fits. Why the fuck not? You hit every other point there. I mean, it's a great actor, great character. You found a place to put him. I don't see how we could go wrong. Sounds like a great play.
DJ, you agree?
I agree. Jon Bernthal has been so good at this, so much so that Marvel has had to reintroduce Frank Castle into continuity in the comics and bring him back more to his traditional look. You know, they had that controversy a few years ago where the police were using the traditional Punisher skull symbol, and they kind of, the comics decided to put Frank Castle and that character on the shelf to a degree. Then they changed his look and everything. But Bernthal's portrayal has been so authentic to that character that it's kind of forced their hand. And now it's like, yeah, hell yeah. Why wouldn't you use that guy more? Because he's so damn good at it. The one thing you mentioned, Dave, getting Spider-Man back to his street level crime roots. When you think back, that's really what made the Sam Raimi trilogy so good. There were some mild fantastical elements in there, but not like we've gotten, and this isn't a knock on the newer movies. You know, I like this kid. His name just fell right out of my head.
Tom Holland.
The Tom Holland movies have been really good. I've enjoyed them thoroughly, but the Sam Raimi ones, the feel, the vibe of the movies really felt like I was reading a Spider-Man comic on my movie screen. And I think we've gotten away from that, and I think it's a good move to pull him back down a little bit. We got to make people remember why they loved Spider-Man. He's a freaking high school kid who's handling the little crimes that the X-Men don't think about, that the Avengers don't think about. You know, he's handling all these little things, and I think that's what made him special. So I'm really excited for that, and I'm excited for Bernthal's, you know, addition to this.
Yeah, part of the problem is Sony holding the rights to the franchise. So, you know, as far as like Marvel wanting, the MCU wanting to do a more street-level type of Spider-Man, that's always been a challenge for them because of where they have to place him in the grand scheme of what's going on with the MCU. You know, first time we see him is in Civil War. I mean, the shit's already hit the fan by then, you know, and then yeah, we got Homecoming, which was excellent. Far From Home, which was really good. And then No Way Home, which, you know, was, like I said, I don't know, man, I'd even probably put it ahead of Guardians 3 as far as my favorite movies post Endgame. On the MCU side of things. But I do agree. I think getting Spider-Man back to his roots, telling a story involving Punisher. I would not be surprised to see Daredevil involved in this as well at some point. A lot of those characters that we saw in Born Again are tailor-made for a Spider-Man story. And, you know, we've already seen Matt Murdock in No Way Home. So I love the fact, and we've often talked about it, the MCU works best when you're kind of, you know, going down the cosmic path with one movie and then staying street level with something else. And then you bring them together at the absolute opportune and best moment. And that's where you get your best stuff from the MCU. When they focus too much on one or the other, and we've seen too much focus on cosmic through phases 4 and 5, you know, you run into some problems. And on the other hand, when they stay very grounded in street level stuff, you get Daredevil Born Again, which was the best Marvel streaming series, in my opinion. I think the best one that they've done so far, even better. I put it above WandaVision. I put it above everything so far, but that's me. So I think, yeah, getting Spider-Man back to that sort of route is going to be critical going forward. And I'm all in favor of getting more characters like the Punisher. Tony, what's up?
I'd throw Loki up there too. Have we done a, I feel like we've talked about it, but not done a list. Maybe we didn't. I forgot. about the best portrayals of comic book characters in movies. Have we done that list? We should do that list. That would be a fun one. That'd be an easy top 10.
Maybe we did something kind of along those lines.
I don't remember either. Something interesting. Well, John Bernthal's portrayal of Punisher would be on a list if we did it again. And if we haven't done it before. Yeah, time travel. It's a hell of a drug.
Time travel. There you go. It's an interesting thought. But what we are going to do right now is travel through this second commercial break. And then when we come back, we've got the DC aspect of things to talk about. Lots of stuff happening on the DC side of the fence. But I want to remind everybody, you are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back into Bandwagon Nerds, guys, gals, everything in between, and all you people around the world. Are your nipplets are excited, Tony? That commercial?
I thought we just welcome back everybody's nipplets.
Oh, yeah. Everybody, if you have nipplets, you are welcome here. And if you don't, well, probably still welcome here.
Yeah, mammals, straight in. Everybody else, we'll let you know. Get in line.
We'll think about it. To close things off, let's talk about some DC stuff, because there's been quite a bit of news coming out. We talked earlier, Superman's about to come out this in a couple of weeks. Tony's already got his tickets. I need to secure mine as well. But we had, and I'm going to kind of flip-flop order a little bit, because I just started talking about Superman. So let's talk Superman. The Snyderverse has got like a subreddit on Reddit, and one poster out there came out with a post that caught a shit ton of backlash, telling people to basically buy tickets for the movie, not show up, spoil the movie every chance that they have, and review bomb it every chance that they have. Now, this is all like, you know, this is a Snyderverse fan. Obviously, I'm going to say use fan lightly, more like fanatic is what you're looking at here. Reddit, to their credit, has put... Ooh, did you guys hear that? Reddit...
Wow, we are loaded with sound bites this week.
Reddit, to their credit. Wow, that wasn't even intentional. It just kind of worked out that way. Anyhow, Reddit, to their credit, did come out and they deleted the post. James Gunn was not very, you know, concerned about this whole thing. Basically belittled the guy who posted it as having all of like 8 followers. Some shit like that. But it raises a big question as far as this notion of, you know, the Snyderverse versus, I'm not want to say it's a Snyderverse versus James Gunn, because that's not the case. But I do want to go to you first, DJ, because I know you enjoyed the Snyderverse. We both enjoyed the Snyderverse. There were obvious big time issues with the Snyderverse that really drug it down. Not all of it was Zack's fault. And one of the main culprits of that, we're going to talk about him in a minute. But at the same time, actively campaigning to review bomb something to push your own agenda before the movie even comes out. And I know you're not going to watch it in the theaters. You've already made that pretty clear to me privately. You can say to everybody here what you hate about the movie. That's fine. But that's not the point. I know even as a Snyderverse supporter, you do not support this sort of bullshit that was done. So I wanted to turn it over to you first. Gunn's not concerned about it. If I was him, I'd be taking it a little bit more seriously. But I want to go and get your take on this first.
Personally, I like the fact that he no-sold it. Like, I really do. And, you know, I've come on this show and actively argued with Patrick O'Dowd and defended the Snyderverse. But those assholes don't represent me. You know, and those people are nuts. You know, I've defended, you know, Man of Steel and Zack Snyder's Justice League and everything that did Batman versus Superman. I have died on that hill. But to sit out here and call for people to actively boycott or review bomb or spoil this movie is insanity, man. It's just fucking mental illness, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm like, did I want more of Henry Cavill as Superman? Absolutely. Am I over the fact that we're not going to get it? I've moved on. And I think everybody else needs to do that. We've moved on. David Cornsweet is our Superman now. And while I will not contribute to its theatrical success, I certainly hope it succeeds. You know, one, because it's a superhero movie and we want more of that. We want the genre to keep going. And I'm hopeful that this kid is able to be the first Superman in almost 40 years to get a sequel to his movie. You know, and I hope for that success, even if I'm not overly excited for it. The Snyderverse, the diehard Snyderverse fanatics, like the ones that are doing this, need to just fucking give it up, man. Just go touch some grass, find another hobby, something. As we tell the people who watch wrestling the wrong way, you were watching this superhero shit the wrong fucking way, if that's what you're doing.
Well said, DJ. And I appreciate that coming from you, because I know you did enjoy the Snyderverse, and I know you were very fond of Henry Cavill, as almost all of us were. You know, the fact that that doesn't line up with Gunn's vision does not mean that Henry Cavill sucked as Superman. That's not what's going on, you know?
And the bigger takeaway from this is Zack Snyder himself has been rather supportive of everything moving forward. Like, he came out on the app, formerly known as Twitter, in open support of the new Superman movie, of David Corn's way. Like, he has accepted that his time with DC is done. The rest of you fucking lunatics need to accept it as well.
Right. That it had its chance. There's a variety of reasons why it failed. Some of that you can lay on Zack. Some of it you can lay on David Zaslav, and he's paying the price for it now. I don't know how much of that you can really pin on Henry Cavill, because he was just doing the job that he was given. Hey, I want you to be a darker, more menacing Superman, a little bit more serious. Okay, that didn't resonate with a lot of Superman fans, and that's okay. You know,
there's a discussion about that anyway, like a whole discussion we can have about
Superman's
that.
Superman's too much like Batman then when you run into, and that's kind of what happened.
But they didn't want the big blue Boy Scout either, because that's what Bryan Singer gave them 10 years before that. So it's like, well, how the fuck do you please
Brian,
Superman fans?
Brian,
you don't.
Also gave us a really weak story. That was part of the problem with Superman Return. It wasn't Brandon Routh. Brandon Routh.
And it certainly was not.
He was phenomenal. And it wasn't, all of his problems notwithstanding, Kevin Spacey as portrayal as Lex Luthor. That wasn't the problem. It's like,
it was the story.
Lois Lane woke up pregnant and doesn't know what the fuck happened. Wait a second. All right. Tony, I want to go to you. Your thoughts on this campaign to tank Superman before it ever gets out of the shoot.
I mean, you guys know how I deal with this kind of stuff, right? I don't fan the flames. So it's stupid. That's all I really have to say. It's unnecessary. It's childish. We'll move on from that. I liked Batman versus Superman. I went and saw it. The week it came out, I enjoyed it. I liked the Snyder cut of what we got, and you could watch it in chapters. I thought that was, even though I didn't, I watched it all the way through. I thought that was so much better. I'm good with what we're about to get. I think it looks great. Like, I don't really care whether you want to have the Superman be this way or that way. Just do it well. That's it.
There's nothing wrong with taking that position. I mean, that's what you want. I think most, all of us, all three of us sitting here, whether you support, whatever you support, all of us want a really exceptional Superman movie to come out. Something that they can build off of, because he is, I don't care where you are or what side of the fence you are, what you believe, whether you're an MCU fan, whether you're a DCU fan, Superman is the most important superhero that there is. And you've got to get him right, because it's better for the industry as a whole.
Look at the three things we cover: sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment, right? And you can take a conventional or unconventional approach to however you want to execute whatever you're trying to get over. As long as you do it well, it doesn't matter if I agree or disagree with the way you're executing it. I can appreciate the end product. And I think that's all that really fucking matters.
Yep, I agree. As kind of like tied into that whole story, though, is a lot of stuff about Batman came out this past week, and James Gunn talking a lot about Batman. And on the one hand, you know, he's basically like talking about Matt Reeves Batman and Robert Pattinson, which I know for a fact DJ was not a fan of the Matt Reeves Batman movie. He basically, you know, but James Gunn is fielding all these questions and inquiry from people about, is Batman 2 even happening? What's Matt Reeves' issue? And Gunn is like, get off of his ass. You know, let him tell the story he wants to tell. It's going to come out. Robert Pattinson is going to remain the Batman there, but he will not be the Batman for the DCU that we have, that is attached to Superman, You know, Creature Commandos, Supergirl, all that sort of stuff. The Gunverse, as it's sometimes being called. And, you know, he talked a lot about Batman in that. And I like this part where Gunn says, I have no interest in a campy, silly sort of Batman. And I'm like, thank you, God, because that is not what this character is. There needs to be this clear, hard dividing line between Superman and Batman. That's when they work best, because that's what they are in the comics. And they are mirror images of each other, you know, different sides of the same coin sort of thing. They are each other's, their checks and balances. Batman and Superman have always been that with each other. You need that. He was like, and I think Ray and I got into a little bit of a debate about this, because Ray thought it was that Gunn's statements were dumb, that, you know, Batman doesn't need a reason to exist. Gotham exists. Therefore, Batman is existing because of Gotham. I'm like, yeah, but you've got to basically still have an explanation as to why is Gotham the cesspool that it is. I understand it's a given that it's just a shit show. Okay, that's all fine and great. But you still have to explain it somehow, some way. Why does Batman need to be there? What part of the Batman's career is this? It's not going to be Robert Pattinson, you know, year one, year two Batman. It's got to be somewhere in between later on. But I think as far as Gunn's take on it, he recognizes how important Batman is. And he says, you got to get this guy right. Like Wonder Woman. He actually mentions Wonder Woman for the first time in this more expanded article. But Tony, I'll go to you first on this one. His comments, you know, I know you liked the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson like we did. I know DJ didn't, and he can explain his reasons for that. That's fine. But as far as the gun, you know, what James Gunn wants to do with Batman, is he got the right approach to what he wants to cast for Batman, how he wants to cast it, and that sort of thing?
It kind of goes back to what I just said, right? Who gives a shit?
I'm going to keep
I just want to reiterate it. Like, and I'll expand more specifically to what you just asked, though. But like, who cares if we disagree how he's about to do it? If it's done well after the fact and we enjoy it, we'll go back and say, oh, well, I didn't see that. I don't know. I get Gal not being involved, Wonder Woman, because that's really attached to previous DCU, right? You could have brought Arpat in as Batman. It wouldn't have affected anything from previous negativity. But I don't know. Like, is the only fact that he's later on in his career? Because by the time we get to Batman and James Gunn universe, Robert Pattinson's going to be pretty old. He's already expressed how old he's going to be by the end of this, still trying to play a younger Batman, right? So I don't know. And I'm trying to think, like, in my head, like, who would play a good established Batman? It seems like who he wants. And you know what? You can't really pick right now, because it could be 10 years before it ever gets introduced.
No,
I feel like the
no,
best,
come on.
Maybe not 10, but it could be 5.
Two,
I don't know. I feel like
two,
the
three,
longer they make
at
you,
most. Three at most.
The longer they make you wait for this, the better it will come off.
Here's a bold prediction. I think Gunn's Batman comes out, might come out before Batman 2, Pattinson's second movie. I think there's a chance of that at the rate that they're going right now. I don't think it'd take that long. You know, Christian Bale would obviously be, you know, it's like in an ideal world, just have him reprise the role. That's not going to happen. We've seen Ben Affleck. That didn't work. I'm just like thinking, I'm looking at this shit and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but no, and I'm not going to say Henry Cavill, Pat, put your phone down. You don't need to throw it.
Logan Paul.
The wall. No, not Logan Paul.
It's going to be Logan Paul. I'm Paul, man.
Logan Paul should be Booster Gold.
Think about this.
He should be. Yeah.
Yes.
Ding. Hold on.
Yes.
He gets a ding.
He is Booster Gold.
That's hilarious.
What do you guys think about, could Pedro Pascal pull off Batman? No.
Stop it.
Stop. That's enough.
Unmute his mic.
Fuck. Stop. Hold on. Patrick, I got it. Don't worry. You deserve this, Dave. Stop. Dude's playing fucking Reed Richards in a movie that's about to come out in like weeks.
Does it exclude him from the DC universe?
Come on.
He's already been in the DC universe.
As Maxwell Lord, I mean, in Wonder Woman 84 that everybody forgot about, but
God, that movie was awful.
I think he's too old to play a middle-aged established Batman.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I look at him in the
Who's
last
the guy
of us
that played Joel. Elvis? Who's the guy that played Elvis in the Elvis biopic? Walking he's done some other stuff too. No. Aaron something.
Oh, not Aaron. It wasn't Aaron Taylor Johnson, was it?
He was in the biker movie with Tom Hardy as well. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, yeah. I got one. You ready? Here, I got one for you. You ready? This is perfect, actually. You want a brooding, middle-aged, established Batman?
Yes.
I almost said his most famous character instead of his name, and now I can't think of his name. I remember his name. I wanted to say Kylo Ren, but what about Adam Driver?
Yeah, maybe. That might work. Yeah, that could be good.
It's not, and it wouldn't be, I'm Batman. It would be, I'm Batman. That was pretty good, right? That was pretty good, wasn't it?
That was pretty good. DJ, your thoughts are, before I'm going to think about some other characters of cast, because yeah, Pedro's probably a little bit too old. Not that he couldn't do it, but
here's the one nobody's talking about. Hear me out.
All right.
Robert Pattinson. There is a reason we haven't gotten Batman 2. There is a reason James Gunn is dancing around the topic. Why are you going to have competing Batman properties in the same universe? You're not going to do it.
We've said this many times.
We are dancing around it here. It's going to be Pattinson. He's just not saying it. From a licensing standpoint, you're not going to have competing Batman.
It's done.
You know, out in the theaters. It's stupid.
So you're telling me that, okay, they're going to have Matt Reeves' Batman, and then we're going to have Kevin Feige's or James Gunn. I'm sorry.
We have James Kevin Gunn's, Feige's Batman. Now that's a problem.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. James Gunn's Batman, but it's going to be the same character playing a different character.
It's going to be the same. It's a shared universe, pal.
But he said he didn't want. He said he already didn't
he's
want that Batman
shit.
To be his.
He's full of shit.
I don't know.
I think Gunn might be.
I don't think
there's
so.
There's a reason why they canceled Superman and Lois, because they couldn't have Tyler Hoechlin running Superman.
I'm glad you came
the
on the show today, DJ,
Sports.
But I got to do this.
We've talked about
have
this.
Another beer.
We've talked about this.
I love you, my podcast slut brother.
Love you, man. Love you.
You guys are whore. You're a whore.
We
Peter.
Are.
You're
yeah, we
whore.
Are.
You're a whore, Peter. You know,
no,
but
that's my flag. I'm planting it. It's going to be Pattinson, and it's going to be an extension of the Batman films. And that's why James Gunn keeps dancing around.
I tend to agree with you because I think it's from a continuity standpoint, it's dumb as fuck. Because the whole thing that you said is that we want to do this like the MCU, one timeline. How do you sit there and say with the second arguably, and there are a lot of people that say Batman 1, Superman 2. I don't agree. That's just me. I see the argument, though. Why would you want to do something like that with your either 1A or 1B most important and popular character in the world to create multiple versions and confuse the shit out of people? What's continuity? What's not? What's canon? What's not? I think it's dumb as shit. I understand that Matt Reeves' Batman was very successful, and you know, Tunney agrees, DJ, you don't. That's fine. It's irrelevant because the point is, yeah, why would you do that and set this thing up so that there's like multiple continuities going on? Well, wait a second. Does this tie in at all? You know, that sort of thing. It just,
unless the game plan is to play in the multiverse.
Well, you guys are saying he's just going to take over and they're not going to do this movie, or Reeves is going to do it the way he wants him to do it. Like, if you're going to carry anything over, then if you're going to carry it over, then please give me, I forgot who played Riddler and Joker, but please give me them, because whoever
Paul
played
Dano.
Riddler should have been. Yeah. Paul Dano. And then another dude from Shameless, the redhead, played the Joker. I can't remember his name right now.
We don't need the Joker anywhere near anything for a while.
But he should come back. He was Barry Keoghan? No, that's a different actor, I thought.
The one who, well, okay, so you're talking about in the Batman, the guy who's in the cell, who Riddler's talking to? It's Barry.
That's not Barry. Is it?
It's Barry something.
Okay, I was thinking of different portrayal. It should be Barry Keoghan then. Yeah, he was in the fucking, where he fucked the dirt in that movie I told you guys to watch. He was also in the Irish movie.
I didn't see any dirt fucking movies.
Yeah.
There was. It was. It was really fucked up. Okay, hold on.
I believe you, but I didn't watch it.
This is going to be fun. I downloaded the Grok app. In what movie did Barry Keoghan fuck dirt?
Oh, no. What is it telling you?
That scene is from Saltburn.
Saltburn.
Yeah, okay.
Booyah. Ask the right questions, you get answers.
All right, we're getting the time limit warning on the
menu. Oh, we got 15 minutes.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes. Let's squeeze in the last part here.
I will say one of the reasons I think DJ is onto something here is when you look at Gunn is answering questions. Matt Reeves isn't answering shit. It's Gunn answering everything for Matt Reeves, which tells me that there may be something here to what DJ's talking about, that it's like, well, if they're not, because I know Gunn's in charge of the DC verse, but if you're really trying to keep them separate, why is James Gunn answering all these questions for you, Matt? So I agree. I think it should be Pattinson, probably. It should be one continuity. It's just going to confuse things with your most or second most important character in all of comicdom. All right. Let's move on to the last story I want to touch bases before we get into what you're watching. part of the reason for the spectacular failure, I won't say spectacular failure, but just failure of the Snyderverse, is the guy running Warner Brothers. And he got bitch slapped this week, fellas. You know, he did. We got news that David Zaslav, who everybody is just not so happy with, is actually getting his pay cut. So he had in 2023, he got a package worth $50 million, a 26.5% increase over the preceding year, in which he kind of just wiped out the DC universe. And now you've got news that he's going to get a pay cut. And I'm trying to look at, I'm looking at the article.
Right, I found now. It. His salary's being, you want me to throw it out there?
Go ahead, man. I'm reading the article too, but it's all in bed.
Salary is being cut from $22 million to $6 million. And his stock bonus will shrink from 23.5 to 7.5 million per year.
Now, how will I live with only three maids? How?
Yeah. I'm going to have to sell six of my houses.
Now, what percentage is that cutting? Because
Rob's the math nerd, not me.
64%.
Okay, I was close. Holy shit.
60%. Yeah. Rob and I have had this discussion before. I have a bronze calculator. I was a mathlete.
The point is, if you're in any other sort of industry, if you're like DJ, if you got your pay cut 67%, would you be sticking around that job that just cut your pay?
Brother, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my history. About 16 years ago, I had 33% of my pay cut. It was devastating to my lifestyle.
Yes.
Devastating.
And you didn't stick around. You were out of there the first chance you got.
Right.
And anybody in that same position, if my pay was cut that much, and I make good money, you know, you guys know what I do for a living, so we're not going to get into exactly the finances of all that, but I make good money. If my pay was cut 67%, yeah, it'd be like, okay, time to start thinking about where are we going to shack up on the street, babe? You know, time to sell some more pictures of your feet or something. We need something to supplement our income.
Get a big jar of mayo. That'll help your feet pick.
Yeah, I'm
your feet
picks. To sell yeah, mayo. My own bath water.
Just helping. I mean, I heard you lost 66% of your fucking.
And here's the OnlyFans of Dave fucking dirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Big Dave's really rooting for Barry Keoghan now, isn't he?
Salt burn this, bitch. Geez. So I can't imagine with a cut like that. Yeah, it's good money, but with a cut like that, I can't imagine this guy is going to be hanging around the WB too long either. He's going to leave or they're going to show him the door. To me, you just look at some of the stupid things. I mean, just most recently, Max. No, it's HBO Max. Why did you just keep it HBO Max in the first place? DJ, I'll go to you first, man. Zaslav, probably getting what he deserves here a little bit too late.
Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Could have happened a whole hell of a lot sooner than it did. Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I'm going to keep it short. He's on his way out the door.
I don't see how he's not. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, who cares? I would tell you, though, that if my salary got cut to $6 million, I'd probably stay.
Well, yeah, but not if you were used to $50 million and they said, now you're only going to get six. That's a big for, yeah.
I don't know where else I'd.
Yeah. You're used to $30.
I have no idea where else I'd earn $6 million, so I'd stay. Well,
okay, but Tony, let's just take a number. If you're making $30 an hour and they cut you down to $14 an hour, you're going to consider going somewhere else.
Yeah. Fish me in. I think I would be surprised if David Zaslav lasts through the rest of 2025. I would be shocked at this point. I just don't see it. I, you know, maybe they're probably holding off and to see how Superman does, because that's going to dictate a lot of their strategy for the rest of the year. If it does well, then you get some flexibility and some ability to move. If it doesn't do so well, he's gone. And you know, you got to make a read and reaction at that point. If it's somewhere in between, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I firmly think they're waiting to see, because we're so close. Let's not do anything that's really going to, other than announcing you just cut your main guy's salary by 60% right before the most important movie in years for your studio comes out. So maybe they just don't know what the fuck they're, you know what? That's what it is. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. But we've known that for a while. Go ahead, Tony. Did you want to drop your microphone down?
What if everybody's on their way up the ladder?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what's happening. You never know. You never know, Tony. You never know. But I don't see people going up the ladder. A lot is going to depend on Superman. I think that's the only way.
David Zaslav is rooting for James Gunn right now in a big way.
Yeah, knock it out of the park. 1 billion opening weekend. 1 billion. You know, that sort of thing. But anyway, let's move into our final segment of the show this week, and it is What You Watching. I'm going to lead it off simply because Tony mentioned something earlier, a movie that he talked about with a very long runtime that I actually watched, because this ties directly into Unidentified History. For those of you who have listened to the show, you know, in the next one, we're going to talk about Trinity, which is the site of the first atomic bomb and, you know, an alleged possibly the first UFO crash that ever happened out there. But I was reading about it and it got me thinking, God, I have never watched Oppenheimer. And I need to watch Oppenheimer because it's all about Trinity and the first atomic bomb. And so I watched Oppenheimer this week and I thought, really good movie, excellent movie, deserving of Best Picture. My only complaint about it, and I told my wife, is I don't know if you guys have seen Oppenheimer. Tony, you haven't seen it? Yeah. Have you seen it?
I told you that in my rant earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Movies that are 3 hours.
I didn't like what Nolan did as far as cutting the movie. Because, you know, the back and forth, always jumping in time and not being able to really, you know, where am I right now? I didn't like that. I understand why he did it, but I didn't like that so much. But I thought the movie is excellent. The cast is tremendous. Oppenheimer's just a complex dude. Brilliant, obviously, and riddled with regret later on in his life for what he's done. And you look at the world now and we're all, you know, on the precipice of paying the price for that. But it was an excellent movie. I thought it was really well done. I'm trying to think what the hell else I watched this week of substance, but I'll probably say that for Unidentified History, the other stuff I've watched this week, because that was very good too. But Deej, I'll go to you this time. What you been watching this last week, man?
Two things I've been watching this last week. One, I talked about a little bit earlier, the Led Zeppelin documentary on Netflix, Becoming Led Zeppelin. Absolutely phenomenal piece of business. It follows Led Zeppelin from literally them being kids coming out of World War II and what, you know, England was like in the aftermath of World War II, coming forward, how they all got into music and the different paths that they took and the paths that they led to getting together as a band. And it's nice because it follows through the completion of Zeppelin II and then it's done. I don't know if there's going to be any more after that. I think this is a one and done. It leaves out the ugly stuff. It leaves out, you know, John Bonham's death and the band splitting up and everything like that. It's just a well done. And if you're a fan of music documentaries, and especially if you're a fan of Led Zeppelin, this is a must watch. The other thing that I'm watching, I'm about 3 or 4 episodes into Daredevil Born Again. Phenomenal. Yeah. Just phenomenal, man.
Did you watch the original Netflix series?
Most of it. I think we fell off. I don't think we watched the last season.
I can, Tony, that thing I sent you, that's recap of Daredevil on Netflix, which is like like 15 minutes long or something. You know, maybe send that to Deej because that was pretty good and probably gets you up to speed. But
tremendous. Fills in some blanks. Yeah.
Tremendous.
I know it's at the beginning of all that kind of ties into, what was it, Echo? Because I know the Kingpin was in Echo and there's some other little adjacent things.
You're good. You're already in it.
Okay.
Sort of, more or less. But you need to know about Bullseye, and that's all season 3. So, Tony, you got a long whiteboard list of things you're watching.
I keep the whiteboard over there, and the lower half I started just, like, let me write it down when I'm doing it during the week. Ray mentioned Power Moves. It's the comeback for Reebok with Shaquille O'Neal and Allen Iverson. Excellent series. I actually started watching the first couple episodes. Somebody Feed Phil is back on Netflix for season 8. There's 8 episodes out there. He travels to different cities all over the world. It's so spectacular to immerse yourself in the culture and how they make the food and why they make the food they make. We visited Amsterdam, Boston, the Basque Country, that's northern Spain. I just watched the Manila episode this morning. But Tbilisi, do you guys know what Tbilisi is? What city, that where that city is? That city is in Georgia. And Georgia is at the southern tip of Russia, the like central western southern tip of Russia, north of Turkey. And it's such a great episode. This is a city that is actually on the old Silk Road from old times when travelers would trade silks and have to travel across Europe and Asia. I still yet to watch Guatemala, Sydney and Adelaide, a little trip to Australia. And I'm saving Las Vegas for last. I think that should be interesting. I've been there many times, as Dave has. What you playing? How about what you playing? Fortnite as Superman, Dave. Had to let you know.
My man.
Fortnite as Superman right now. And they're going to have a Squid Game theme coming June 27th, which is very apropos. And I want to challenge EA and Madden to do something that 2K and NBA 2K has done, which is allow you to go back in history and start at different points and download different drafts and different players and actually go back and try and reshape teams. If you could do that in football, my goodness, I would love that too. So that's what I've been watching and playing.
They haven't done that since they had the classic edition of Madden many years ago, where you can get the classic teams and throw them in there. I wish they would. I don't know why they stopped doing that, but anyway, guys, that is going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. We're running low on time here, but we've still got enough time to go around the horn. Let people know where they can check you out on social media. DJ, let's start with you. Where can people join you if they want to get some of that special soap?
Well, there's no soap, but if you want to follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter, that's at the Mindless Pod. You can also listen to myself, Rob, and Jason shake up the world of professional wrestling on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We drop every Saturday on the Chairshot Radio Network and all of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Mr. Tunney, where can people check you out?
Chairshot Radio Network, like DJ said, all your favorite streaming platforms. Follow me at PC Tunney. And I told you this would take less than an hour.
We're almost there. As for me, check me out on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. Go check out the website. I have redesigned the website. You guys need to go there too and give me your thoughts on the stuff I've done, see what I've done over there. And of course, check out at Bandwagon Nerds. Follow the show on X. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Next week, episode 295, Patrick returns. We'll see. We're going to start covering Ironheart next week, so we'll be reviewing the first three episodes. So tune in next week for more nerdy goodness. Until then, guys, kids, get out of the basement. Get some sun. Maybe not where Tony is. It sounds like it's too damn hot. Stay in the air conditioning where it's safe. Watch some movies. We will catch you next week for more Bandwagoners. Until then, you guys, take care.
This is your partner.
Because the whole world gone crazy! Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Market zero!
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.